This is Member Care Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Today we're going to look at facing the giants. This is one of the saddest stories in Scripture for me. It's a passage that I can't read without feeling strongly about it. I can't even speak about it without feeling emotional, because it's very sad. And what makes me sad about it is that I see it repeated time and time and time again today. Let's look at the situation here. We, the children of Israel, trapped in the land of not enough. They had gone to Egypt at the right time. It was correct for them to go. But they stayed too long. They got comfortable. They got the good land given to them. They built up a nice little lifestyle. They didn't go back home. Eventually, they were trapped in slavery. What a change. You know, that sad passage, that verse that says, there arose a Pharaoh that did not know Joseph. Their circumstances changed. This good life that they had disappeared. It's happened many people quite quickly in the last 6 or 8 months in this world. It still happens. But the good news was, now time to leave. God said to Moses, you're going to lead the people out. Moses and my father had something in common, which I have to a lesser extent, which is a speech impediment. My father was wonderful. He had a tremendous speech impediment, but it never stopped him talking. So he would stand at a place somewhere like this, and he would say, I would like to have about 20 minutes to talk to you for 5 minutes. And he had this till the day he died. He was a wonderful man. But Moses also had this speech impediment. So, you know, Aaron was there to kind of do the mouthing for him, etc. So, I wonder what that felt like for Moses. I mean, he was exiled by choice out of Egypt. He was wanted for murder. He'd spent 40 years wandering around as a shepherd. And now God says, you're going to lead the people out. Okay. And he gave God all the reasons why it wouldn't work, etc. But eventually, he went and said to Pharaoh, I just wonder what that felt like. He said, excuse me, please, let the people go. What? You must be joking. You know, go away. It's interesting, that first time, it says, Pharaoh hardened his heart. After that, it says, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. But Pharaoh made the first choice. He said, no, that's half of my economy. You're not taking them. But eventually, they left. And they ended up going through the land of just enough. In this process, they saw God working for them. They saw the plagues. The plagues were a bit of a two-edged sword here because it brought great disappointment every time they didn't get away. Those setbacks. Imagine what it feels like. You're sitting with your suitcase already. Moses has said, this is it. This is definitely it. It's going to be after the boils. You know, or after the whatever it was, all the different plagues. And you're all ready, and you're ready to go, and then Pharaoh says, no. Okay, unpack the suitcases again. So disappointment after disappointment, false start after false start. But eventually, they were able to go. They also took wealth with them from the Egyptians. Isn't that wonderful? The Egyptians gave them gold as they were leaving. Do you know what's sad, what they did with that gold? They melted it down, made it into a calf and worshipped it. They took God's provision and abused it, and they worshipped the provision rather than the provider. Very dangerous. In fact, the whole book of Exodus is one of the best books to study if you want to understand stewardship issues. It is fantastic. They had seen the sea being parted. They had seen the Egyptians being destroyed. They had seen water, manna, and quail provided. They had seen enemies defeated. But it was the land of just enough. There was just enough quail every day, just enough manna. The water at times was just enough and came in different ways. You see, this was a journey. This was not a destination. This was not where they were supposed to go. It was temporary. God had not called them to the wilderness. He'd called them to the land of plenty. But to get there, they had to go through the wilderness. It was a place to learn and a place to move on. Eventually, the excitement building. Now, I want you to imagine this. I want you to imagine you're there with your family, those of you that are married. You know, you're there with your husband or wife, with the kids, maybe with the grandkids. You've seen all these plagues. You've seen the water parted. You've gone through some of the disappointments of not being able to leave when you thought you would and unpacking the suitcase. But eventually, after a nice meal of lamb, you walk out the door, and now this is it. And the Egyptians are destroyed, and there's been battles and all sorts of stuff. And you get to the border with the land of plenty. You can see it. It's just over there. The excitement of this. It's so close. You've heard stories handed down from generation to generation over 400 years of what this land is like, but you've never seen it. None of your family have seen it. No one you know has seen this. But you've heard about Abraham and Isaac. You know the story of Joseph. You know the story of the good days back home, and also the famine and the welcome you had in Egypt. And you know how that turned sour. And now you're so close. You know, more importantly, that this is God's destiny. He's calling you home. He is fulfilling in you as a family what has been promised to the people. What did that feel like? I mean, I can't imagine the buzz there was among the people. There it is, just over there. This is it. This is exciting. I mean, if you've moved country, as we have on a couple of occasions, it can't even compare, but there's a bit of that buzz of arriving at the airport in the new country. And you smile at the person at immigration, and they look at you like this, you know. You think, okay, well, I hope they let me in here, and I hope somebody's waiting for me, and nobody's there, because they got the wrong day you were arriving, and all those, that excitement and the fear and the nervousness. But you know it's God's destiny. It's what God's called you to. And you're just about to do it. Moses knew this was the destiny also, because, I mean, he knew that from the burning bush. If you're standing looking after some sheep and a bush suddenly goes on fire and starts talking to you, you listen to that. I mean, sometimes we read those stories in Scripture and forget what it must have felt like. This voice coming out of this flame saying, get your shoes off, this is holy. Oh, good. Okay. So he knew that, but Moses was a bit of a strategist. He'd learned over the years. So, I'm going to put this here. Too much stuff, not enough space. So he said, okay, now I know we're going to go in, but I don't actually know what's in there. I just know that we're going, so I don't know what's in there. So he selected 12 spies. And he sent them in to explore. What was their mandate? Was their mandate to make a decision as to whether or not this was a land they could go into? No. Their mandate was to gather information. In Numbers 13, verse 17, he said, go up through the Negev and on into the hill country. See what the land is like. And whether the people who live there are strong or few, is it strong or weak, few or many? What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they walled, unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees on it? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. So their task was simply to bring back enough information for Moses to make informed decisions about how the land would be taken. Interestingly, they were elders of the tribes. This is very important a little later in the story. For 6 weeks, they were away. What did that feel like for those 6 weeks? I mean, there was no cell phones. You know, they weren't phoning back every day giving in reports. And imagine you're sitting there and it's gone 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. You're thinking, I wonder if they're dead. Have they been captured? Maybe they got lost. No sat-nav. You know, and they've gone the wrong way. I don't know. What's happening? And that uncertainty begins to creep in, a nervousness. Because you've done nothing for these 6 weeks but just sit there and wait. Because remember, you're there with your family, ready to go in. And nothing has happened. Then in the distance, you see them coming back. Fantastic. All 12 of them coming back. You think, great. And they come back. And what do they say? Yes, this is a great land. There's honey in it. I had honey for breakfast this morning. Great. There are grapes in it. Here's a whole bunch of grapes. There's milk, lots of milk. Pomegranate. Figs. When you've had a diet of manna and quail, this sounded good. It was everything you'd have wanted. You can have milk and honey for breakfast. You can lie back and have some grapes in the afternoon and a couple of pomegranate and a fig or two in the evening. No stodge here. This was wonderful. We moved to Germany and we were told the most important words you have to learn in German are ja, aber. Yes, but. And here comes the but. Because they had learned German. By the way, German is a very easy language to speak very badly. And I succeeded in speaking it very badly. So what was the but? All the people we saw are of great size. Let's look at verses 31 and 32 in chapter 13. But the men who... we're going to go back a bit later, but let's just pick it up at this point. 10 of the spies said, we cannot attack these people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. The land devours those living in it. We saw the Nephilim, you know, there. Sorry, all the people we saw there are of great size. All the people are of great size. Was that true? That every person that they saw in almost 6 weeks was of great size. They started by believing a lie. They said, there are giants. But was everybody a giant? No. Fear caused them to believe a lie. They lost sight of God. The circumstances controlled them. They panicked. And in their panic, in order to justify their panic, they created a situation that was not true, and they convinced themselves it was true. Because if God has said you can do it, and you're now saying you can't do it, you have to give some reason why God was wrong. And the reason they give is, everybody is a giant. So we can't do this.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thank you for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further, We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.